So welcome back to a new episode. Today we're going to be talking about the role of a school counselor and the importance of providing mental health resources to children. With me today, I have Sophie. Sophie, if you want to introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Sophie.
So what are your credentials?
So
What you
I
got?
am a school counselor at a private school. I have my master's in counseling with an emphasis in school counseling K through 12.
Perfect. I hear you got your degree electronically today. So
Yes, just
congratulations.
as of today, yes. January 14th. So I will officially get in the mail, I believe, next month, and then I will walk the stage in May. So that is exciting.
Perfect. Well, congratulations. You worked very hard on that.
Thank you.
So let's just get right into it. So, as a school counselor, what are your primary responsibilities?
So I think that, like, as a school counselor, we have many, many responsibilities within a school. We work with students individually. We work with students in groups. We provide crisis intervention. We collaborate with educators, with families, with other outside community resources to connect families with those resources as well. We're really the backbone to the education system, I guess I would say. We provide many different sources, yes.
You really provide, academic, personal, and developmental support for the students. And you have a broad range of students because you're qualified to work with K through 12.
Yes,
So
elementary,
there's
middle, and
a
high
lot of
school.
different.
Yes. And that's actually, you bring up a good point with the academic, social, emotional, and behavioral. And I'll tell you kind of how that came about was that so we focus on those domains. So it's part of our ASCA mindset and behaviors, which ASCA is the American School Counseling Association for school counselors across the country. So that kind of helps us to focus on different areas of, students' academics. Where do they fall within, achievement and those things? Or, like, say, like, for an example, a student is struggling, like with their math or reading, and they come to us, and we kind of refer out to maybe special education and those services. When it comes to social emotional is probably one of the biggest topics that we cover as school counselors, meeting those needs. I do classroom lessons each week or every other week, where I will do social emotional lessons on. Like this last week was on, I went into the fifth grade classroom and did a lesson on stress, and how students are able to manage stress and coping tools and those types of things. So, and then the last one is just behavioral. So if students have specific behaviors that need to be addressed, one of the big ones is like aggression or just being able to regulate their emotions effectively, like anger. I have a lot of anger, so like centering my work around providing like strategies on anger management, or providing a group of students that need assistance with those types of topics. So when I do mention about the group counseling, I think group counseling helps, or you can really work with a lot of students, not just one student. So I think that it's quicker to help students who are groups because you have a wide range of students and not just one student. So I've found that to be effective as well. So
Do you
yeah,
think
for
it
those, yeah, go ahead.
do you think it helps when there's a group of them and then they can kind of like recognize the problem within themselves through listening to each other and like kind of bonding that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the most valuable part of a group, is that sharing other ideas to help with your own healing is really valuable. So
yeah, perfect. So what are some skills that are required of a school counselor? What do you think the most important skills that you need?
Sure. I think student advocate, I would say, would be probably the most important. Advocating for student need is probably the one I'm most, and just building relationships with students, I think, is so vital, because if you don't have a relationship with that student, you're not going to get to anywhere near of helping them and to figure out really what they need. So just building that relationship from the ground up is so beneficial. The second thing compassion too, having compassion and empathy to students and just listening to them rather than telling them and those types of things. The second one I would say is professionalism. Being able to, work with colleagues and families and students in a professional manner is essential as well. Just as a culture and, school culture, and just, again, maintaining those relationships, I think is so vital.
That's a collective effort.
Yes, it's a collaborative effort within education.
Yeah, you want the parents involved and those teachers that work closely with the students. Otherwise, there's not going to be that balance that'll actually help the student progress and work through their issues.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So how are school counselors different from outside mental health professionals?
That is a great question, and I'm so glad that you asked it, because that has been what I have been working on with my colleagues and educators now, is just understanding really the difference between what a school counselor and outside mental health professional. Granted, we all as school counselors go to school with mental health professionals. In our graduate program, we have very, very similar classes and things, but really what differentiates us is that, like, we're in the school directly, so we don't provide the outside, like, diagnosis and assessment and long-term therapy that lasts for 12, 14, a whole school year long kind of deal, or, like, we're not sitting on the couch analyzing clients. So But our work is very focused and solution driven, kind of helping students to figure out solutions to their concerns. The most I will spend with a student typically is about 6 weeks, is probably the most intervention. That's not to say that a student can't ever see me ever again the rest of the school year. It just means that their intervention is not going to be the whole school year. It's just going to be that 6 weeks. And then if they have another concern or something just pops up and they want to quickly come in and talk about it, then we can certainly do that. But that intervention piece is very short term. And that's important as well to get across to your students, staff, and families too, because in their previous experiences, all they've had was mental health professionals. So the role of that school counselor was never given to them, or it was never shared with them. So it was hard for them to recognize, like, that difference between a school counselor and a, outside mental health professional. That is not to say that school counselors are not mental health professionals, because we certainly are, but we only have so much training within the schools, or we can only provide so much services within the schools, but we have the incredible ability to provide those outside services to families if needed, if there's other issues or other underlying issues that we can't get at that we can certainly. And then if that student does see an outside counselor, we can certainly, the family can sign a release statement. So then we can talk with that therapist directly within the school so we can support them here at school.
Okay. That's definitely a difference. As a school counselor, I feel like you have such a broad spectrum of things to kind of focus on that it's it's different than an outside mental health professional. And like clinical psychology, diagnosing, treating.
I see.
You have a lot going on in the school counselor position where you have to...
We wear many hats, for sure. Yes.
Yes, as certainly. With all of your many hats, do you feel a lot of pressure in this career?
I think more now than probably ever. I mean, taking in consider of COVID has posed many challenges, you know, regarding to the education profession. But I think putting at the forefront, just understanding like just how you can support students and just varying degrees of what we do is, I think, just so vital. Like, I know that, you know, like virtual learning has posed a lot of challenges for educators and just being very, very creative. It takes, I would say, creativity to come up with different supports and how to, you know, handle student issues and, you know, going from, you know, in-person, you know, counseling with students to virtually counseling with students, or how we're going to support students who are missing or from, you know, missing a lot of school, you know, or not going on to the virtual learning, and just finding those creative ways to support students, I think, is very vital to student success.
Yeah. So there's a lot of pressure, a lot of trying to work creatively to give that necessary to support to those students. Does that kind of feel like you get burnt times?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
It can be draining at times. Not going too long.
Yeah, of course. I get drained with just my own problems. So taking on like 50 students would be...
50? Let's try 200.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Well, so how can you decrease the potential for burnout in this position?
Well, I think as we, as school counselors, we have been not trained, but just been aware of like our self-care and just knowing when to leave work at work and when to engage in our personal lives, I think is so essential. And, you know, just taking care of yourself, making sure that, you know, you're doing your daily activities and those things are just so essential. And I think, you know, we at times forget, you know, when we are taking care of others and when we're providing all that empathy to all those students that we forget, you know, ourselves. So, and, you know, as they say, you know, you can't pour from an empty glass. And I think that's, you know, says it all that, you know, you can't give what you don't have. So self-care is certainly vital to this profession.
Yeah, it's really a matter of just checking your work at the door when you get home and just being able to separate your life and your personal life. Okay. So what types of situations commonly affect your students' mental health? You know, like maybe a divorce, death in the family, things like that, or?
As a first year counselor, I would say I've had a lot of like anger management concerns, just allowing, or I would say anger management / emotion regulation would probably be one of the biggest concerns that I faced this year with students. I've had a couple of grief and loss with students as well. Let's go ahead. You had a question?
Yeah. Do you think that the situation in schools with COVID has increased student frustration and maybe is leading to some of these aggressive behaviors?
Partly. I think that
partly.
I have seen at the beginning of the school year that kids have lost that connection with other kids. So it was hard for them to build up working together and problem solving and teamwork and all those skills that, you know, we need to connect with others. So and that was obviously lost with COVID when everyone was at home and, you know, those connections were lost. So I think that, yeah, I saw a little bit of that where, you know, it was hard for kids to kind of cope with the everyday, you know, connections that were lost and those things. So,
yeah. So when you say aggressive behaviors, are kids like physically lashing out?
I wouldn't say aggressive behaviors. I guess I was speaking like in general for school counselors. I guess personally or like professionally, I haven't seen physical aggressive behavior, but I think that like it's more anger, like frustration, anger. We do deal with crisis as well. So like students who are suicidal or who, you know, want to hurt themselves. We've had a couple of those incidences as well in our school. So like our role as school counselors is safety, obviously, and getting them the appropriate resources and reaching out to families when that does occur.
Yeah. Okay. So roughly 70% of mental health problems have their onset during childhood and adolescence. Taking that into account, how important is managing mental health at a young age?
Wow, very deep.
Yeah.
yeah, certainly mental health concerns have certainly increased over the years. Okay. I wish I had an absolute answer for this, but I think it is also important to recognize mental health in a young age. Obviously, you know, very young age, mental health isn't as shown because symptoms and those things aren't seen right away. But it's just to be aware of, you know, mental health and how it affects, you know, not in the classroom and, you know, in their own lives as well. So I wish I had an easy answer for that, but I think it's just that awareness piece and just helping students through those mental health conditions. Obviously, school counselors can't diagnose and get in the core of mental health, but I think just supporting those students who have, you know, depression or anxiety or those things that, you know, commonly interfere with their ability to function in school. The biggest question we ask as school counselors is how is this affecting them at school? And how can we support them? So,
yeah, it's really about providing them with the appropriate resources to get the additional support that they need that you can't necessarily provide.
Yes. And that's not to say that we don't have the adequate resources at hand, because we do certainly have, you know, those tools to at least assist with, you know, or like if a student just wants to talk about, you know, their mental health or, you know, or there's a concern or a teacher has a concern in the classroom, like the student has been down or hasn't really said much or, you know, isn't eating or isn't sleeping, just those types of symptoms that kind of are brought to your attention that, you know, we couldn't talk with a parent about that would need further evaluation. So our you know, role is really kind of that that ground before mental health services. So and kind of recognizing that before.
You mentioned educators taking a notice that change in their students' behavior. How important do you think it is to have educators that actually pay attention to each student like that versus one that just kind of teaches the class and, you know, moves on? Like how,
important. Yep. It is so important. Yeah. I mean, it is a godsend if teachers are all on board on what you do and how you are really there to help students and their mental health and just overall well-being of that student, I think. And there are some educators that are not all on board, but just helping them to realize that, you know, your work is important and it's, you know, we're there to help you too so that we can help students. And there are some teachers that, you know, just like to be textbook teachers and just like to teach social studies and math, and they, you know, like on that. So, but, you know, incorporating that social emotional learning is so important, because if we don't get that social emotional learning, they're not going to be able to get math. So just kind of, you know, encouraging teachers to get on board with, you know, what you do and the importance of your work is so vital.
Yeah, it really is effort for kids because, you know, as you're developing and you're learning all of these social skills, you really look to the adults that you spend a lot of time around, which would be your parents, your educators, your school counselor. So everyone kind of needs to get in there and really just provide the support that the students need.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't mention, because I forget, I'm a small school. So, but also I work, you know, school counselors work, collaborate with school psychologists and school social workers and police liaison and those types of supports as well. So it's really a collaborative effort to support the whole student.
Yeah. So what kind of mental health resources do you provide to your students? Like, can you recommend a psychologist in the area to be diagnosed with maybe depression or ADD or anything like that?
So what I do is, like, I do it by county. So our the county resource, I'll provide that number to them. So, and then they are connected with, you know, mental health or abuse or neglect, those types of resources. I will provide the county number directly to them. I also do suicide hotline numbers. I will do like assault numbers, sexual assault, abuse, those types of hotlines. I have a whole list of them. I don't have them pulled up, but
Of course,
you know, by county, those types of things that they can go to depending on, you know, what the concern is.
You have to be resources. You as a school counselor, you individually have to be kind of with it to know which resource is going to fit for which student so that you don't misguide them as well.
Absolutely.
So for you personally, why did you become a school counselor?
Why did I become a school counselor? I became a school counselor because, and I know this sounds cliche and everyone says it, but I just think that, like, I just love working with students and, like, seeing them grow and develop, and, like, I just like that feeling that, like, I've made that difference in someone else's life, and just allowing them to have those, because there are kids that really, really struggle or have, you know, very difficult home lives, and just to make their day or their school day could be their only consistent time or their only consistent and, you know, like place where they have, and, you know, to be able to just, you know, spark a light and, you know, their day, or, you know, give them that one resource that may change their life, you know, is an incredible, incredible opportunity to have. And to be able to serve is probably, it's just rewarding, I guess, is why I went to school counseling.
Your position kind of really helps shape kids and give them some of the coping mechanisms and behavioral patterns that they'll carry with them throughout their whole lives. Mm-hmm. And children, obviously, as they grow older, become the forefront of our society as, you know, we move along the timeline. So it's very good kids. And
I think too, I have a good feel story. I don't have many right now because this is my first year, but I think, as I mentioned before at the beginning, that like they've never had a school counselor at you know, my placement of work. And it was at the very beginning of the year, and I really emphasized my role as a school counselor and that I'm a school counselor. And we recently had, like, I think it was conferences or like where parents could come and, you know, see their children and, or with their children, I should say. And I heard a student in the hallway tell their parents, oh, that's Sophie. And that's our school counselor. So it just really was a feel good, like, moment knowing that, like, they know
where to go.
Yeah. And where to go. And I think that was very powerful, and knowing that these kids know where to reach out. So I think that was a good feel.
That's awesome.
And why I do what I do.
Because I remember, like, in high school, I didn't even know who my counselor was. I had no idea. All 4 years, I had absolutely no idea who to go to if I had, like, any academic problems or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was just like they were background piece for the school.
And there's definitely different roles of, you know, elementary, middle, and high school as counselors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's for a whole nother topic, but I think as a counselor, like, you have to be present. Like, I think that is just so important. And I just kind of cringe when counselors say, I just sit at my desk all day, and it's just kind of breaks my heart a little
bit. Yeah, that's not really, you have that's to not really providing the kids with,
so,
sorry.
Sure.
That's not
and
really
I'm not saying that counselors do that, and I hope that they don't do that, and many don't do that, but I think you know, years back, it used to be guidance counseling, and that's what it was. It was, you know, sitting down with the student, you know, one time, and you never see him again. And so it's, I think it's just being visible with your students is so important.
Yeah. If you're going to be a school counselor, you shouldn't just want to be like a desk jockey, and because that doesn't really provide the students with the resources they need if they're struggling with something, whether that be an academic struggle or an emotional struggle, like something going on at home. So I love that your students know that you're there, what you do, that they can always come to you for help. So that's great.
Absolutely.
So how do you become a school counselor? What's the process?
Well, it is a long process. You start with, going to school. So it requires a bachelor's degree, which is 4 years. And then you have to go on and get your master's degree. And depending on the program requirements and the years that you are needed to complete it is about 2 to 3 years. So, and then, yeah, once you have your master's, you have to get your master's in counseling. And mm-hmm. then you can get certified and you become a school counselor through Department of Instruction. So.
Yeah. Would you recommend having prior work experience in a school setting before just taking on this kind of position?
Yeah, it certainly would not hurt. I had plenty of work experience in schools prior to that. I was a teacher assistant. So any experience within the schools is certainly valuable to knowing how to work with kids and colleagues and other educators. Certainly valuable experience. And I honestly, it has helped me with going into the classrooms for lessons and just I'm able to engage with students and have that classroom management because of my prior experience with kids.
Yeah, that's super helpful. All right. Well, was there anything else that you wanted to add?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I think we covered pretty much all of the roles, responsibilities, all that kind of stuff. So, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Sophie, thank you so much for coming on and being so open about your position and kind of the importance of such a position. And hopefully we'll have you back on for something else soon.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Of Idiots and Intellects. Feel free to check out any of our other episodes and follow us on Instagram.